Mike, good morning. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
Hey, Krug.
Yeah, good. Are you kidding me? That was a good homestand. 4-1. And the way they're winning, it's, you know, the way they're winning, it just leads you to believe that, hey, they're good. They're in every game. They've been in every game. And even when they get down by a bunch, you know, they come back. And, you know, they get four hits yesterday, scored four runs. Now, they had some help defensively. Texas broke down in both games, and it wound up costing them both games. But you know what good teams do? They take advantage of other teams' mistakes. And I thought that it was just really a well-played game. And I liked the way that the adjustments were made. I liked what Logan Webb made, the adjustment early in the game, where he picked his pace up. And he got challenged by Kurt Casale in the middle of an inning, and he responded well. And, you know, we see this guy go out there and throw six innings, strike out 10, and we're going, yeah, he can do better. And he can. And he believes that. I mean, a lot of good things happening right now with this club.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And by the way, is Logan Webb youngest Giants pitcher to have a double-digit strikeout game since Madison Bumgarner in 2013? How about that? So, nice. I mean, it's funny, Mike, because Logan Webb's, you know, I don't want to say iffy. He's sort of been the guy in the rotation that people have viewed as expendable. Well, we can just always move Logan Webb here, move him there, take him out. I don't know.
I like yesterday.
What are you seeing? You kind of look forward to another start like that, maybe, huh?
I do.
Well, he is a guy you can move around. And look, if they got into the playoffs right now, if the season ended right now and they went to the playoffs, he'd probably go in the pen. And then you'd say, well, where would you use him? Well, you could use him first guy in. You could use him into an existing inning late. And you could close with a guy. I mean, he's that versatile. And I think what he's learning, I mean, and you know, you have to remind yourself, he's 24. You know, I got to the big leagues when I was 24. I didn't know squat about how to pitch when I was 24. I don't think I really knew how to pitch till I was 30. And for Logan Webb, you know, he's there ahead of me. He's ahead of a lot of guys. But he's got so much to learn. And he learned something really valuable yesterday. He learned that, you know, you need to compete. You need to shake the cobs, the cobwebs out of the attic, and you need to you need to pick your pace up. You know, pace is something. What he learned yesterday, he'll take with him the rest of his career. That was a big day in his young career, and it's exciting. It's exciting for me to see a guy who's got so many tools starting to piece it together. And you know, we can all see the progress. But man, he is such a great. I'd say project. Mm-hmm. That's the best word for it, for Posey and Casale, because both of these guys have embraced the challenge with this guy. And he's a pitcher that truly benefits from guidance from a catcher, and we saw it yesterday.
Yeah, Kurt Casale yesterday, it was interesting. Casale talked after the game about some of the stuff they had to work through to get to the end result, that it wasn't always easy, and they kind of, you know, had to figure each other out. And also, Mike, there was this weird instant replay situation yesterday with all these long delays and overturns. And days like that, you question
big time
replay, you know?
Just disrupts the game.
Where are you on this?
Well, I mean, they got it right. I mean, I don't know if I agree with the first one, because I thought that the first play in the first inning, when those runners are first and third and one out, and Webb gets the ground ball, they turn I didn't like the way the defense was set up to begin with, because Crawford was playing behind second base. When he got the ball, it was a foot race to second base, and then he had to get the throw off himself. There was nobody there to throw the ball to get the force and turn the double play. I don't like it when they set that defense up that really makes the double play something that's going to be difficult to make. The very fact that it was even close, and I thought they had him, at the very least I thought it was a tie. Once they called him out, I thought, well, they're not going to be able to overturn that because it was a tie. But they overturned it. So bottom line is, it took 4 minutes. That was bad. But, you know, every other play that they reviewed, I mean, they got it right. So I think that's what the whole thing is for. So in the end, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you want the game to be called correctly. That's the whole point of it. I wish they could find a way where they could speed it up. But I was more ticked off about the pre-defense set than I was actually about the play being overturned.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, they'll do that, though. I mean, they're not going to, as much as people who watch baseball all their lives don't see it that way, the Giants will keep putting out that shift, right? I mean, they'll say, hey, we got the out, and that's where the ball was hit, and that's just how we're living now.
Well, I mean, they did it in the next inning. And so, I mean, it is a part of our life. They didn't get burned on it because, you know, Crawford didn't get the ball hit to him. But, you know, I just don't like that. I mean, for the longest time, you know, basically, you know, say, all right, from a pitcher's perspective, what mode are you in? You're either in a ground ball mode or you're in a strikeout mode, depending on the situation. And when you get a double play situation and you get that ground ball that you know that would be a double play if the defense was set up for it, that really does piss you off. And you know, being an ex-pitcher, I just don't think that's right. You know, but it ain't going to change. So, I got to calm down.
It's all right. Giants are 22-14. They're doing pretty good. Another, you know, people say, well, you know, if there's still cynics out there, well Kapler's bullpen management is sketchy. I don't know. Well, yesterday, everyone he brought out did their job. Camilo Doval handed it over to Caleb Berger. Handed it over to a guy we just don't even talk about, really, on our show. I mean, Zach Littell. Like most Giants fans wouldn't even know who he was. And then here he is, Jake McGee. God, we've talked about Jake McGee more than almost anybody in the first 6 weeks of the season. But how about that little four-reliever usage yesterday by Kapler?
Well, he got it done. He wasn't going to use Tyler Rogers. He was going to give him a day. And I think it was a significant save from the whole group because they weren't using Tyler Rogers. I mean, he's been unbelievable down there, and he's been in, you know, over half the games. So the fact that they got, you know, two innings worth of outs before they handed the ball off to Jake McGee, I thought was big-time significance. Look, they're still trying to find their confidence down there. So they're still shaking it. And in regards to Kapler, I think he's been amazing. I really do. There's not one guy in that clubhouse that doesn't know what his role is going to be on that particular day. Kapler's ability to communicate and put everybody in the game plan is remarkable. The guy's tireless. I mean, he gets there, and it's all about communication. It's all about letting guys know what their roles are going to be. You know, and it's amazing the energy that he has going into the game. And then when he gets in the game, you know, he's redefining a lot of how baseball is played. You know, we call it the hockey line, the front line, the line change. Mm-hmm. He's educated all of us. That's how they're going to play the game. And he's had to mix and match with guys down there in that bullpen. And I think what he did in yesterday's game was commendable. And so I like what I'm seeing from the skipper. I like what I'm seeing from the coaching staff. I love how all these guys have bought into it. There's a confidence because they know what is expected of them. They know what their job is going to be in that particular given day. It may be different than the day before. It may change in the next day. But there's no confusion whatsoever. And I think when you have that type of commitment mentally from everybody involved, it adds to the chemistry of the team. That was a chemistry win. There were a lot of contributors in yesterday's game, and we've been able to say that a lot watching this club from day one. It hasn't been just throw eight guys out there and let your starters go and have two guys at the back end close it out. You got 26 guys engaged in that game. Even the starters, the starting pitchers who aren't pitching that day, they're sitting there on a bench with their spikes on. They could be a part of the plan. And I think that's an enormous thing when you're putting together chemistry.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, reading this Andy Baggerly piece in The Athletic where he talked to Alex Wood and Jake McGee, who were both on the Dodgers last year. By the way, he notes they're going to get their World Series rings when the Dodgers come to town next week. It's going to be kind of... They're going to do it like in the darkness of the tunnel. You can't let Giants fans see that. And I joked. I said, wait, they gave out rings for that 60-game season? I didn't.
Anyway. Half a ring, maybe.
But here's the quote, Mike, that kind of builds on what you were just saying from Alex Wood. He says, the biggest thing is the staff has done a great job communicating roles and what the situation will be on an individual basis that night, whether it's for the pitchers or for the hitters. Through that communication, they're able to start to formulate a game plan for how they'll be as ready as possible for whatever their job is for that night. As a whole, you see guys doing that, and it's kind of contagious. It's really fun to see guys own their jobs. It's been a lot of great team wins so far, and hopefully it'll continue. That's kind of exactly what you were saying there from one of the players who's in the dugout in the clubhouse saying this is what's going on.
Well, and I'll give another example of how our confidence as, you know, the fans who have been watching this whole team get put together. You know, think about the guys who've gone out. Dickerson, Solano, Yastrzemski, yep. Longoria, you know, Belt's missed time. You know, these are significant guys.
Yep.
When they've gone out, how confident are we with the people who's coming in there and taking their place?
Yeah.
We have been very confident about that. And the other thing, too, I talk about is the confidence we have in watching the at-bats. Whoever they are, whoever's coming off the bench, we feel pretty good about it. I don't think there's anybody right there who I'm looking past now. When they get a bat in their hand, I'm thinking they have a threat. They have a plan. They have a chance. I don't think I've ever felt that way with any Giants team, ever, like I do now. And I think that's, you know, something that they feel from within. And that's significant as you go forth. Look, you know, we're all wondering, can they sustain this? All of us. But I don't see any reason to doubt it. I really don't. I mean, just because there's been so much distribution of contribution. And I think, and I love that. I mean, that may be just the T-shirt you get for this club because everybody's having a piece of it.
Yeah, yeah. So good. Mike, just kind of looking around, as always, keeping my wary eye on the Padres and Dodgers. They didn't play last night, but did you see what happened to the Padres with this COVID?
Yeah.
Fernando Tatis tests positive. So does Will Myers in the middle of the game. Now, this is on the heels of the news that the Giants, I think, as of tomorrow, will be 85%.
Were they vaccinated, those guys?
I don't know. I do know Phil Nevin of the Yankees was vaccinated and also tested positive.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
So, I mean, it's still lurking out there. But, Mike, there's good news. Bad news is that this is happening to the Padres. The good news is the Giants might be unmasked on Thursday. We might see Kapler's jawline for the first time ever. But, I mean, just your reaction to the Padres and, I mean, it's, you know, you never want to see a team go down. But, man, that's adversity for Jace Tingler in San Diego.
Man, that's really upsetting. We heard that yesterday during the game. John looked at me, goes, and he held up his phone. He had checked the headlines, and the headline was Tatis tests positive for COVID. It was really upsetting. I thought we were by this to a point just because of all the protocol that had been just exhaustingly observed by all the teams, and I thought we were past it. I really did, and this was a shock to me. And you know, I mean, a month ago, Steve Berman had done a piece, and we had talked about the Giants. You know, they were compliant almost to the 85%, and then it would be soon that we'd see the masks come off. And it is going to come off on this on tomorrow. Today's that tomorrow's the day.
Yeah.
You know, they've all had their shots. I mean, it was an effort to try and get everybody involved and make, because a lot of guys didn't want to take the shot, whether it be from, you know, religious background and perspective or whatever the reason, they didn't want to do it. And then they got everybody in, and then, you know, they finally got their last shots, and then tomorrow's the day where they've gone through the period after their last shot that they can take their masks off, which is really important because you get your culture back in the clubhouse. And, you know, you don't have the quadrants where guys are being held apart from one another, which is upsetting, again, to that word I talk about, Joan Ryan's word, chemistry.
Yeah.
And for this to have happened with the Padres, and the Yankees are going through it too. Phil Nevin got it, and it's all in their coaching ranks. So now they have to go back in, and they're actually talking today about, you know, the Padres. They may have to have some games canceled. You know, they've three of their highest paid players have come down with this. It's just awful. I really thought we were truly apart from this, and it's really upsetting. But I'm very happy that the Giants have complied. I'm very happy that they have 85% that have said that they will take the shot. And then tomorrow, again, it's a very significant day in the Giants clubhouse. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just the world we live in. And I don't know if we'll ever feel completely confident that we're all safe.
Man, best wishes to the Giants. And we'll see what happens to the Padres lineup and bodies and games going forward. We'll end it on a positive note, though, Mike. This we were wondering early this morning, with Copes on the face-off at 5:55 this morning, why Shohei Ohtani isn't as famous as Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. I mean, I'm exaggerating only a little bit here, but he's doing remarkable stuff all the time. Last night, struck out 10 and then went and played right field. He's the first guy to strike out 10 and go play another position. Only the third guy since 1900, first guy since Harvey Haddix in 1952. There's all the other stats about the home runs and the ERA and the Babe Ruth stuff, and he's just kind of bopping along. We said if he walked down Broadway, nobody would know who he was, you know? I mean, what do we got to do to make this guy a global superstar here?
Well, just really, quite honestly, one of the most remarkable athletes I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And not just given in what he does in baseball, I think he could play any sport. I mean, he's got those kind of tools. He's a remarkable athlete, an incredible specimen. I don't think he's even close to where he's going to be. Certainly not on the mound. I mean, he's as green as can be. He's just trying to outstuff guys, which he can do. I mean, he's got incredible stuff. He has no clue how to pitch yet. That he'll learn. He's going to get a lot better. But the very fact that you can take a guy and he'll strike out 10 and you put him in the outfield because you want his bat in the lineup, yeah, that's remarkable. The one thing that I really need to stand back and applaud is how the Angels have figured him out. And they were given a puzzle with this guy. They didn't quite know what to do with him. They knew he was gifted in every aspect of the game, but they didn't really quite know what to do with him. And they kind of babied him. And now, you know, they're not. Now they're throwing him out there. Let's go. The only thing I would fear after a guy goes out there and pitches and throws 10 innings, if he's in right field, well, what's going to happen if there's a play and you got to make a throw? Is he going to unload on a throw in a game situation where, you know, it's the deciding run of a game? I don't know. That's the only risk I see. But he's exciting, man. He's bringing people to the game. He's making people. He's making players think, well, I could do that. If he could do that, why can't I do that? Yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, as far as God-gifted tools, he's got some special tools.
Man, it's pretty fascinating. All right, well, what do you think? We'll let you on the upcoming road trip out to Pittsburgh, out to Cincinnati. These are, you know, we've seen the Reds. We know they can hit. But just by the one loss record, these are two teams under 500. Pittsburgh's 15-20 right now. Cincinnati's closer, 16-17. And we know, like we said, they can bop a little bit. But you go to Pittsburgh, you know, this is a kind of a weird roadie. You're leaving the West Coast for the first time since, well, I guess they went, did they go to Houston last year? Did they? Yeah, they went to Texas last year. But you're going to play, you know what I mean? It's kind of the first real road trip, you know. They're going to be unmasked. Just your thoughts on the mindset going into a non-rivalry road trip of the Pirates and the Reds with the Dodgers waiting on the back end back home.
Well, one thing that they have accomplished in 36 games, and you think about it, that's almost a quarter of the way through the season, is they feel that if they play their game, they can beat anybody. And that is a huge confidence for a team to be able to realize that this early in the season. So they're going to roll in there, and they're going to have that feeling if we play our game. I think the one thing you're concerned, if you're Gabe Kapler coming into Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, are these two wet towns. You're going to have rain delays. And anytime you start and stop a game, that upsets the rhythm of the game, and that's something you have to overcome. I really believe that's a home field advantage for the Pirates and the Reds because of it. They have to deal with start stops all the time. But when you're a West Coast team, you don't deal with that, and that is something that is that could have an effect on these series. But I don't know, they're up for any challenge right now against any team, and we just want to see how they're going to do. I think they want to play a little bit better than 500. I mean, with what they're doing at home. You know, to play 500 is, I think it should be something they should be able to achieve quite easily, honestly, because of the way they're playing. But it'll be a challenge, and we'll see how they do.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. This is just a different scenery than the NL West and that beautiful park in Pittsburgh, too. So all good stuff. All right, Mike, let's just keep rolling, man. We will talk to you Friday morning after they play the Pirates. Talk to you then.
In a bit.
Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line on KMBR 104.5 and 680. Paulie, Giants winning, Warriors winning, top six looming, cooler content coming. We got Sam Spear already in the books today. Oh. You got a daily dose coming up.
I'm ready to dose, actually.
Scotty Osler, Andrew Baggerly, just too much goodness.
That's all.
Can you handle it?
I can.
Next on KMBR 104.5, after I tell you you're listening. The KMBR Morning Show on KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader.
Mike Kruko with Murph and Mac has been sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. The Murph and Mac Power Hour surges on. Feel the power. Next on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.